The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Bryce Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading flash briefings for multiple sclerosis. Here's an article by Steve Bryson, PhD. Combo of biomarkers predict further disease activity. In people with early-stage multiple sclerosis, or MS, the presence of high levels of neurofilament light chain, or SNFL, protein in the bloodstream, combined with thinning of the retina, is a strong indicator of future disease activity, a recent study demonstrates. Our findings encourage the application of both SNFL and retinal measurements for risk stratification or classification in clinical routine and trials, the researchers wrote. The study, increased serum neurofilament light and thin ganglion cell inner plexiform layer, are additive risk factors for disease activity in early multiple sclerosis, was published in the journal Neurology, Neuroimmunology, and Neuroinflammation. MS often starts as clinically isolated syndrome, or CIS, which is the first episode of neurological symptoms that may or may not precede MS. The subsequent course of MS can show significant symptomatic variability among patients in imaging and tissue analysis and response to therapies. That is why reliable biomarkers measured in the early stages of the disease are needed to predict further disease activity and identify those who would benefit most from disease-modifying therapies, or DMTs. Optical coherence tomography, or OCT, is a non-invasive imaging technique that generates cross-sectional images of the layers within the retina in the back of the eye. It can be used to visualize the loss of optic nerve fibers, or axons, nerve cell damage, and neuroinflammation caused by an altered immune response, targeting the coating on axons, an underlying cause of MS. SNFL protein is a potential biomarker for axonal damage. Increased levels of SNFL in the bloodstream have been associated with new or growing lesions in the brain, which reflect an ongoing loss of myelin and axons. Furthermore, patients with high levels of SNFL early in MS are more likely to progress to worse disability. While OCT and SNFL each may be a valuable measure of future disease activity, the combined association of abnormal OCT findings and elevated SNFL levels in the early stages of MS has not been fully explored. In this study, we aimed at investigating the potential additive value of SNFL and OCT measurements as markers for subsequent disease activity in patients with CIS or early MS, the researchers wrote. All patients in this study also participate in an ongoing observational study in Germany of patients with a CIS or early MS, up to 2 years since disease onset. The first OCT measurements and SNFL samples were collected at the same clinic visit, and participants underwent yearly follow-up clinical assessments, along with blood sample collection, retinal OCT, and brain MRI imaging. The primary outcome was evident that contraindicated or violated the status of no evidence of disease activity, or NEDA3, defined as a combination of no new relapses or brain lesions on MRI, and the absence of disease worsening, as determined by the Expanded Disability Status Scale, or EDSS. Of the 78 participants, 62 were diagnosed with relapsing remitting MS, and 16 with CIS. The mean age of the group was 33.7 years, and 64.1% were female. At baseline, there was a significant correlation between elevated SNFL levels and the thickness of one retinal layer called the ganglion cell and inner plexiform layer, or GCIP. No other baseline associations were seen in the other retinal layers measured, namely the parapapillary retinal nerve fiber layer, PRNFL, and the inner nuclear layer, or INL. During a median follow-up of 23.9 months, 46 participants showed evidence of disease activity. 23 experienced a relapse. 38 developed new brain lesions on MRI, and 9 had confirmed EDSS worsening. An analysis of SNFL and OCT as separate biomarkers found patients with abnormal SNFL at baseline had a 2.28-fold higher risk of violating NEDA3 and a 2.47-fold higher risk of developing new lesions but not experiencing a new relapse. Thinner GCIP and PRNFL, or thicker INL, showed no significant association with future NEDA3 violation. In contrast, a thinner GCIP was associated with a 2.88 times higher risk of a new relapse, but not for new lesions. The team found no associations between EDSS worsening and abnormal SNFL or OCT parameters. A statistical analysis which adjusted the data for established factors linked with future disease activity, including SNFL, GCIP thickness, as well as age, sex, lesion count, and the use of DMTs, showed abnormal SNFL was associated significantly with a 2.11-fold higher risk of NEDA3 violation and a 2.04-fold higher risk of a new lesion. A higher lesion count also correlated with future lesion development. A thinner GCIP had a higher risk of a new relapse than those with a thicker CGIP, but the association was not statistically significant. Greater lesion volume was associated with a future NEDA3 violation and lesion development, but not age, sex, or DMT use at the time of study enrollment. Combining the two. Next, the team examined whether SNFL and OCT parameters combined predicted future MS disease. Patients with abnormal SNFL plus thin GCIP had a 3.61 times higher risk of violating the NEDA3 criteria. Abnormal SNFL plus thin PRNFL had a 2.63 times higher risk, and those with abnormal SNFL plus a thicker INL were more than a threefold higher risk than those without these combined risk factors. High hazard risk ratios were observed when the SNFL and OCT measurements were combined than abnormal SNFL or thin GCIP thin, PRNFL thick, INL alone as a single risk factor, the researchers wrote. Regarding new relapses, there was a higher risk of new relapses with abnormal SNFL plus thin GCIP, abnormal SNFL plus thin PRNFL, or abnormal SNFL plus thick INL. An increased risk was also seen for new lesion development when combining abnormal baseline SNFL levels with reduced GCIP thickness. A combination of NFL with any of the three OCT parameters was not associated with EDSS worsening, according to the team. An interaction effort was found between abnormal SNFL and thin GCIP for future NEDA3 violation and new lesion development, but not further relapses. The proportion of the interaction of SNFL and thin GCIP added 75% to future NEDA3 violation risk and 85% to new brain lesion risk. The researchers wrote, quote, "The most important finding of our study is that thinning of GCIP and PRNFL can both provide combined benefits to abnormal SNFL regarding their association with subsequent NEDA3 violation. In patients with early MS, the presence of both abnormal SNFL and thin GCIP is a stronger risk factor for future disease activity than the presence of each parameter alone," the team concluded.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by John Connor, Fall Down, Get Up Again. Lockdown blues. Well, that was a close shave. Last year, winter never quite arrived, and spring kept springing up before being crushed down again. We imperceptibly melted into summer. Then the autumn leaves hung on, and hung on some more. But these days, would Mr. Sinatra have to get his lyricist to do a rewrite? Some of us, and indeed those who happen to live with those of us who have severely compromised immunity, watched Mother Nature adjust to the new reality her offspring had inflicted on her from behind our windows. Cinemas were closed, but we had a long-form time-lapse movie of tumult playing across the screens in our own windows. Andy Warhol would no doubt have made a film about it. Of course, he'd liven it up with something outrageous. I closed my front door to the world in mid-February of 2020. It was, as it turned out, my last night directing my live stand-up comedy show, The Edge, at the London Comedy Store. One of the few advantages of being steeped in the news is to realize when it's time to hunker down. The show went on for another 3 weeks, I believe, and then the West End, along with the rest of the country, was shut down. The UK and most of Europe had turned into one long Christmas day. That was it, except for a few necessary journeys to my local clinic. Getting my two vaccine jabs was the most memorable outing I had at the time, and I hadn't had a haircut since July 2019. How can I possibly be so exact? Do I keep a diary? No. Well, sort of. I wrote about it in a column called 8 Days a Week. So as my imprisonment started, my head was already shaggy. Like in any prison, another inmate would have to cut my hair. Step forward, my wife, Jane. We even had a proper pair of old haircutting scissors, left courtesy of one of her sisters, who had been a hairdresser in the way back when. Jane attempted nothing adventurous, just a gentle tidy-up and a trim of my fringe. I could see again. As the months rolled on, I researched and purchased an electric shaver that could keep my stubble, which I've rocked since college in the late 1970s. In those ancient days, it was even known as designer stubble. The shaver gave a pragmatic but perfectly reasonable haircut. The first time out, my fellow inmate followed the rules. Take the shaver in consistent strokes toward the crown of the head. This she did. And boy, was I happy. Then it was 2021, and the miracle vaccine had begun to roll out. We still had no real idea what would happen. My hair had grown back to start with. So it was time for another shearing. I was relaxed. Last time out, the rules had been followed. I trusted my fellow inmate to follow the rules. Never trust a hardened recidivist to follow rules. My head was in the clouds, and unfortunately, it was also in Jane's hands. She admitted to making a mistake, and I used sage advice, culled from all those How to Cut Your Own Hair articles. If you make a mistake, don't try to correct it. Continue, ignore it, and the dodgy part will soon regrow. Instead, Jane said, "Oh, this actually looks better." As long as I would be able to see again, it was cool. It had been a long, hard imprisonment, and we were now in our second year. Jane was bored and exclaimed, "I'm going to be creative." Why not? There was light in her eyes. She made sure to keep her body in front of the wet room mirror. How bad could it be? Well, bad. I looked like an old, gnarled character straight out of Sons of Anarchy. This was back in April. Who besides my carers and family members would see it? Well, my Facebook friends. I would get more hits and compliments for this than any of my occasional witty barbs. My show, The Edge, where we came in, has actually been booked for late August. Who knew the chances of that ever happening? In the UK, as of this week, it now looks increasingly likely. Thankfully, the mistake did indeed grow back. Don't let my stylist know I referred to it as a mistake.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.